Today's guest is Denise Fatola. And I bring her to you, the Strategic Advisor Board community, specifically because of her expertise in marketing. She's an award-winning marketer. She really is. And she's worked at companies like Ogilvy and Bayer prior to leaving all that behind to double, triple down on influencer marketing. And this conversation today is about the benefits, the challenges, and all you need to know if you're going to consider influencer marketing, which Denise believes you really should. And she breaks down why. Now, keep in mind, she was able to vet a lot of these agencies before making the decision to leave behind the big corporate life she was leading to move over into influencer marketing, literally seeing the future and vetting the best of the best. And that's how she ended up at Lynkia. But we don't spend the whole episode talking about Lynkia. We actually dive deep into what any small business owner or entrepreneur needs to know when considering influencer marketing. This is for you. Without further ado, Denise Fatola. Okay, it is an absolute pleasure to bring to the Strategic Advisor Board community, Denise Fatola. Welcome to the War Room. I'm super stoked to have you here. There are many people who have spent a lot of money on ads and whatever the hottest thing is, but you yourself have such a illustrious background, and I use that word very lightly, so I mean it when I say it about you, in digital marketing and advertising. So that being said, I want to have a discussion about the importance of considering influencer marketing for the entire community at large. So I guess where it makes the most sense is if you could tell me a bit, just a brief overview of your journey in digital communications and marketing.
Yeah, so it's been a journey and an exciting one, quite honestly. And I think that journey has led me to the profound statements that I keep making about influencer marketing. So honestly, I started my career in PR and always fighting for a seat at the table. And that was very exciting. So I started to get myself embedded into different marketing areas, getting knowledgeable so that that seat at the table was super valuable and the advice and counsel I was bringing was beyond just PR. So then I started branching out because the world shifts and moves. That's the thing. And if we stand still and remain the same, we will go extinct. And that is what happened to Radio Shack. That is what will continue to happen to brands that don't pivot and move. And it will happen to marketers if we don't pivot and move into the new age. And this does go back to how I was just saying I started my career in PR. And I said, not that PR is going anywhere, but if we really wanted to make an impact in the marketing space, we needed to integrate PR into the digital world. So I started immersing myself in the digital world, in social media, influencer marketing. And I'm talking years ago when I started really diving deep into influencer marketing. So to my delight, fast forward, COVID comes and influencer marketing explodes. And I'm like, yay. Now everyone is asking about influencer marketing where I was trying to convince people. Now more people are coming to me and saying, tell me more, Denise. And I am more than happy to have this conversation.
Right on. Thank you. Thank you for that. Now, how do we stay ahead of the curve, or what strategies do you usually use to stay ahead of the curve as the landscape shifts in digital marketing? And it's twofold. And why has influencer marketing stood the test of time so far?
Yeah. So let's unpack the first one. How do we stay up to date on everything that's going on? There's nothing worse than when I have a conversation with someone who's on the marketing side and says, well, I just really don't think TikTok is a place for my brand. I said, okay, well, when's the last time you went on TikTok? Oh, I don't even have the app. Okay. So be involved, get involved, spend time on these apps, read about it, follow thought leaders on LinkedIn. You're not just going to snap your finger and poof, or a textbook is going to teach you everything. It's a platform that you can learn intuitively from the more you get involved. Open an account, start posting, start commenting on other people's posts, and see where all of that goes. And then you'll have an informed opinion. So that's the first one. Unpack it with one easy tip and one easy tool. And then how is it standing the test of time? Because it's peer-to-peer influence, and that's where we are today. And again, I mentioned COVID, where people wanted to connect with other people. And they, you could go outside, but no one was outside. So you were not connecting with people on the same level where you used to. If you were taking the subway to your job, you had people around you, you strike up a conversation in the supermarket or wherever. The internet became those areas of connection. And now people are used to your sort of strangers as friends. They're not strangers anymore. They're people that like the same things that you like. They're people that have a point of view and something interesting to say, and you're attracted to them. So that's why influencer marketing is going to stand the test of time, because people are actually interested in what other people have to say, and they're joining in the conversations.
Is there an example or a campaign that you champion as an example of influencer marketing really doing the job, getting the job done?
Yeah. So I'm going to use a recent example because I see things all of the time, and anything that I see that I'm jealous that I didn't do is definitely a great campaign in my opinion. And recently, and I love brand collaborations, especially super unexpected ones, like when Chipotle did a makeup line, I think it was with Elf, and that's this right. Example is going to be Elf as well. Like, I'm literally like, I so will not wear green makeup, but I like that. It's interesting, right? So this is also an Elf example. They recently partnered up with Liquid Death. Love. So now I'm like, oh, wow, that's an awesome collaboration. So where do I go? I go on TikTok and I'm like, Elf and Liquid Death. The influencers and the work that they're doing, they're painting their faces in Skull and Liquid Death, and the conversation that's happening and the way that the influencer community is really embracing this collaboration is spreading a viral message. So I love that Elf is what I'd call a challenger brand, but they're doing so many smart influencer and marketing and social media moves that they're beating the bigger brands that have bigger budgets and bigger marketing spends, like the Revlons and the L'Oreals. So many younger audiences are more familiar with Elf as a brand because they're not hearing from Revlon doing the same kind of things with the community of people that they're engaged with.
What does it look like to craft a campaign like that? Is that something you leave up to the agency you're working with because of their expertise? Does it matter how involved you are? What are those tactics and what does that layout look like?
The most successful campaigns and things that will be developed are developed in collaboration. So if you talk to any successful brand marketer and agency, they always talk about being an extension of the team. So I've been on both sides. I've been on the brand side and I've been on the agency side. And I have always said, no matter side I sat on, I said, I am only as good as my partner. So on the brand side, I'm only as good as my agency partner. So I need to give them all of the information that they need to create the best in class campaigns, to really come up with the best ideas and invite them in, right? Don't just share information when it seems appropriate to do that. Invite them in, invite them to the meetings, invite them to your weekly marketing conversations. And then on the agency side, really immerse yourself in that business, ask the right questions, get yourself invited to the right meetings. So it's not a client-agency relationship. It's more of like your colleagues and partners. And if you work in that fashion, really, it does become a colleague and peer-to-peer relationship. And that's what's going to deliver on the most successful campaigns.
Now, is there such a thing as too small of a brand to be considered for influencer marketing as a viable option?
I think smaller brands are the most ready for influencer marketing. And I used to have my own consultancy and I only worked with smaller brands because the mission statement that I developed for the company was to help emerging and challenger brands break through the clutter of these giant companies that had bigger budgets, right? So I was really stepping forward and saying, you can afford my agency with people that have come from these big agencies to give you those big agency ideas to help an emerging brand breakthrough. And 90% of the time, seriously, 90% of the time, we executed influencer campaigns because we were able to create partnerships with influencers and we didn't have to pay them a lot of money. And not that I'm suggesting, because influencers are businesses too. So I'm not suggesting that you don't pay somebody for the work that they're performing, but there's other ways to invite them into the company. There's other ways to partner with them, whether you're going to give them equity, whether you're going to make them a consultant of your company, but really bring them in as a partner and do more than just creating influencer content on their social channels. How do you actually bring them in? Maybe it's a collaboration. Maybe it's inviting that influencer who's always been doing all of these beauty posts and saying, hey, we want to come out with a lipstick. Can we partner with you to develop this lipstick? Deeper relationships. Think outside of the box. Influencers are brands too. So think of it as a brand that you're partnering with, and how can, you know, each of you value from that relationship you're building?
I was going to say, it sounds like having the right alignment with the right influencers and choosing who you're going to build a relationship with matters just as much as just, in contrast to a lot of the way people run ads and other marketing efforts, well, let's just do the playbook, the thing that people say we're supposed to do. This doesn't sound like it's one of those things you can approach with a, let's just do the playbook. Is this accurate?
It's very accurate. I would spend the most time finding the right partners. I really would. And I would make sure those partners feel like partners. And I would invest in them, because then they'll invest in you. And I would do longer term partnerships with influencers instead of one-offs, because the more that their community see them talking about the same products, the more that they're going to believe it and think that it's real. And the more that your customers are seeing the same person communicating the same thing, it's going to drive more sales and drive more business for you. I really believe, and I'm glad you mentioned it, that finding the right partner is something to really invest time in, and then really invest in the person when you find them.
Now, when someone like you looks at the overall, let's say, marketing budget that a small business or an entrepreneur venture who usually runs on the smaller side of budgets, when you look at that pie, how do you usually like to divide it? Because so many of them like to think of ads first, or some version of that. It's somewhere there they consider creating content with their newsletter and what have you. There's a budget spend that they have to consider in total. How would you divvy that up?
Well, I would spend all of it in digital media. So I would, you need paid media. You really do. And you need SEO. You're a new business. No one's going to find you. But if you're pairing that stuff with influencers, I'm going to provide you with an example. So this influencer, let's say, is creating videos and blog posts, and they're going on the internet. And that means that when people are searching for things, there's more content. Your name's going to rise to the top. Now, next thing with influencer, you're going to put out paid media. So you have to create ads or something like that, right? What are you going to put out there? Okay, you have this partnership with this influencer. Hey, influencer, you're a creator as well. Give me that content. So now you are working with that influencer to push out their own content, but they're also giving you content that you can use for your paid ads, whether it's programmatic or on PDB pages or whatever it may be. So you see what I'm doing is connecting the dots. How do you take that relationship with the influencer and help it benefit the rest of the marketing tactics that you need to pull the lever on? Now, you do all of this stuff and then you have to measure, right? So you have to see what is performing the best. But I can tell you from running these programs that an influencer in your display ad is going to perform way better than if you just did a display ad with a flat product shot. So, and video content is going to do extremely well. And it's expensive to create, but it's not expensive to create if you have a partnership with an influencer.
I see what you did there. 100% true. So then, is there three crucial steps that anyone listening right now needs to do to prepare for this idea of approaching an influencer marketing agency or approaching an influencer? And do you encourage either path depending on the budget, or what are your thoughts there?
I would say if you have the budget, then I would lean on an influencer agency. And here's why. An influencer agency, I happen to be at Linkia and it is the best. So I would go to them. But the reason I suggest it is because they have the technology and the tools to do the heavy lifting. Finding influencers, like I said, is very important. It takes a lot of work. And I use the analogy all the time and people laugh at me. It's like people are talking about herding cats. No, no. It's like herding blind, deaf cats that only know how to walk backwards. So it is very difficult to find people. So we use AI, we use different technology, we find the people, we test the messaging and do all of that work, all of the legwork for you. And then we brief them. And, you know, all of this stuff takes time. A lot of times you get ghosted by different influencers. So you have to chase people down. There's contracting. There's a lot that goes into it. Now, like I said, if you have the budget, you can go in that avenue and you can definitely lean on an experienced agency like Linkia. But if you don't be discouraged. Really, don't be discouraged. Spend the time to be on social media, hashtag whatever. Say you have it's a water company, a water brand, like, you know, hashtag water, hashtag drink more water, whatever it is. See who's talking about those conversations, and then you begin to comment as the brand in there. And sometimes influencers will then come to you. So they'll say, oh, there's this new brand out there and they were liking some of my content. So, and sometimes influencers are talking about brands just authentically that they happen to like. I do it all the time. And I'll find a brand, like I just found this, protein shake that I love. Then, and this company did not contact me, but I'm going to make a post about it because I play in the fitness and wellness space and my community expects me to tell them about these things. So this is a very small company and no one really knows about them. So if this company wanted to leverage something like that, I will tag them. Now you could just go to those influencers that are tagging you and you can say, hey, Denise, I saw that you posted this. Hey, could we send you free product and make some more posts? Can we give you $500 and you make more content? It's not going to be expensive, especially if you're a small brand. Influencers are smart. They're going to know how to work with you. Or maybe it's a longer term deal. It's a post every other month and they give you $1,000. Whatever it is, there is an opportunity to really lean in, even if you can't afford an influencer agency.
I got it. And now there are definitely people who have spent a lot of money on pretty much everything they ever heard was going to work for them. And it's, I just want to get it out of the way, right? And a lot of them are like, oh, another thing. Is it going to work? Because like you said, not only will influencers potentially ghost you, but generally speaking, you'll end up with a lot of beautiful creative assets that don't get you the ROI. What do you think contributes to that fail point so often for small businesses and entrepreneurs? Is there something wrong in the way that they're approaching a marketing strategic partnership?
I think that sometimes there's not enough data to support going forward with a particular tactic. And I think we need to fail fast and take a look at things and pull away from it or pivot or change it if we don't feel that it's working. But I'm going to contradict what I'm saying is I think that at the same time, there are companies, even large companies, that walk away too fast and they throw up their hands. This isn't working. Well, you haven't given it. Again, I had my own consultancy and I would have brands come back to me and say, I'm 3 months into something or one influencer execution that really didn't deliver. Well, give it a moment. Give it a moment to catch fire. Let's continue to support it in this way. Let's add a little bit more paid. It's just, you're an entrepreneur and it's your own money in many instances. But look at Amazon. That didn't happen overnight. right? That took like almost a year to catch on and evolve into what it is today. If you listen to Sarah Blakely talk about Spanx, same thing. She's like, I was doing it for 2 years before anything ever happened. So we need to have this sort of courage to stick with something and let it follow through a little bit. Let it follow through and don't be scared to walk away too soon.
Love it. And one other thing tactically, how do you usually recommend people measure the success of a partnership or going down that path of influencer marketing?
I think that's something that you need to establish from the beginning, right? So if it's a smaller brand, if it's an entrepreneur, if I'm that person and they're doing direct-to-consumer sales, I want to see a sales impact. So especially if you're working with influencers. So let's say, you know, it's a sneaker company that somebody started and I'm selling these sneakers on my website. Okay. So the influencer is going to show a particular pair of sneakers and they're going to say, shop here and, you know, to buy these sneakers. Now you can do like, you know, there's not cookies anymore, but you can do a traceable link that will show that that influencer drove X amount of traffic. Right. So then as a marketer or a business owner, I'll say, okay, Denise, that influencer execution that you did actually drove $10,000 in sales. And I paid you X amount of dollars to do it. So do the math. This was the ROI on the investment. That is what I always encouraged when I was doing as a small business owner with my own consultancy. That is what I encouraged us to do. It was hugely successful. Now, some people wanted to measure awareness. We can do that too. Some people want to do a brand lift study or an awareness lift. So those are other things to measure. Like a lot of bigger brands don't necessarily, or they can't because they don't sell directly to consumers. They have to go through retailers and such, and retailers don't share that data. So you may want to measure something else. You may want to measure ROAS, or you may want to do an MTA or Nielsen rating. There, again, sales lift studies. There are so many ways, but you need to establish that in the beginning. The beauty about influencer marketing is it's not upper or lower funnel. It's all the funnel. If we can hit everything within the funnel, but we just have to know what you're trying to achieve. So we know which type of campaign to develop to sort of hit that area in the funnel that you're trying to impact.
You brought up a really interesting point when you said there aren't cookies anymore. And it shows that you're staying on top of everything that's happening. And the truth is, if you're working with anyone who doesn't say that to you out loud, you probably want to ask a few more questions before you decide to work with someone. So I love that you're able to bring that up because it shows that you're staying on top of things. My question to you is, are there any places you go to stay informed and stay educated? Because you're clearly a practitioner in the sense that you encourage people go on TikTok. You say you don't like it, but have you been there? Have you searched around? Have you looked around? Are there other things you do to stay informed on what's currently working, what's not?
I have a ferocious appetite for reading, but I read what I actually flip the page and read is probably nothing that's going to educate me, more so entertain me. But I listen to books, and the books that I listen to are, How Social Media Got Started, different elements of marketing, or even, you know, how to run a business, or Atomic Habits, all of these things, like how do they impact what I do every day? And I can't say it enough. The thought leadership on LinkedIn is amazing. And I get so much information by following different newsletters, different folks in the industry, who they're connected to. You have to stay informed. E-Marketer is great. DigiDay is great. The Informant information, conferences, you get tons of information. You have to forever want to be learning.
Thank you for that. Yeah. And that brings me, as we begin to bring things to a close, that brings me to the next relevant question, which is, are you open to people who may hear this in the community reaching out to you on LinkedIn and connecting with you anywhere else?
I absolutely love that. I am one of those people that I truly believe that I make my best friendships through social media. And I really have. One of my closest friends I met through, we were both nominated as Women's Health Magazine Action Heroes. And I met her through that. It was 2 years before I even met her in person. And we have been buddies ever since. And my door's open for all of that. I want to be friends with everyone because I think that we inspire each other. We lift each other up. So it's simple. Denise Vitola. You can search me on any social media channel. And it's Denise Vitola on LinkedIn. There's a couple, funnier ways that I use my name on Instagram as D's Workouts, both with a Z, D's with a Z and Workouts with a Z. And Fit Foodie on TikTok. I like to, on those channels, really focus on fitness, health, and wellness. And on LinkedIn, I really share my thought leadership about influencer marketing, women in leadership positions, and just being authentic, gritty, and raw and telling the truth all the time.
Love it. And is there anything the listeners should know about Linkia itself moving forward if they want to consider that as an option too?
I want everyone to know that I was at a big corporation and was looking for an influencer marketing agency. And as we do, we put out an RFP. And that's how I met Linkia. And I was very impressed with their services. And it's very rare for somebody to actually leave a corporation, a company, this big juggernaut, to actually go to the agency side and work at the agency. And that's how impressed I've been with Linkia. It's like a family organization, but with the most brilliant people, the best technology, and just people that have their whole heart in it and they're fully committed, building end-to-end influencer solutions that are best in class. And I wouldn't have joined the company if I didn't truly believe in what they were bringing to the table. And I've met tons of influencer agencies through working at that company. And through even interviewing, when I was, trying to land and do influencer marketing 100%. And I just want people to know that I vetted this agency for you, so you don't have to.
Big time. Denise, thank you so much for stopping by the War Room and giving us something to go to battle with. It means a lot.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having me. It's a lot of fun talking to you.
Done. There it is. All right.